good evening, church. It's actually morning when I'm filming this, but having said that, I know you guys won't be watching it until the evening, and glad you guys could tune in tonight. I hope you're plugged in to one of our home groups or you're having some people over so we can devote ourselves to fellowship with each other, just like we see the early church doing in Acts 2:42, and God can work through each of us and encouraging us and edifying us. And we're going to be in 1 Samuel 3 tonight. And just to give you a little testimony or application why I landed where I landed. So on Sunday, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Celebration Sunday, I had a pretty restless night Sunday night leading up to that service. Now, that is not very uncommon for me as a pastor. It seems like there is a spiritual battle going into almost every Sunday. But having said that, leading up to Sunday, you know, I can put a, or the enemy wants to put a lot of pressure on me as far as like Easter Sunday being really important to preach that perfect word so tons of people get saved. And, you know, this Sunday wasn't so much different other than that I felt very clearly what the Lord wanted me to focus on, just the finished work of the cross as far as like the gospel presentation. But usually at the end of a sermon, you're looking for that, what I call that rhema word, or that word for today, that manna, if you will, just like the Lord provided manna daily for the Israelites in the desert, like that specific word. And so going into Easter Sunday, I kind of had some things in mind. I had some notes. But having said that, during the night, I felt very strongly leading up to Sunday morning that the Lord was leading me in a completely different direction than anything I had planned on in wanting me to talk about citizenship. Specifically, our citizenship is in God's kingdom. If you guys attended on Sunday, one of our Easter services, or you watched online. And so I wasn't ready for that. And I'm somebody that likes to be prepared. So I was pretty much restless all night. It felt like I was wrestling with the Lord over that. Like as he was leading me, this is what I want you to kind of end on and talk about this. I was like, Lord, I don't really want to talk about that because I'm not sure exactly how that applies to like the gospel. And I don't really have any notes. And so it felt like that all night long. Like I didn't sleep at all. Like just this. And it's hard to, it was almost like you're dreaming, but you're not really dreaming, and you're kind of in and out of sleep and no sleep. That's what it felt like. But it was very, like I woke up in the morning and it was very clear in my mind, this is what I'm supposed to talk about, but I wasn't completely sold on it. And so I sat down to do my devotionals that morning, and then guess where I'm at? I'm in the first three chapters of 1 Samuel. And if you guys are familiar with 1 Samuel 3, it's where the Lord talks to Samuel in the middle of the night, and we'll actually go through that in a little more detail today. But having said that, like for me, it was this further confirmation of like, all right, Lord, I get it. You were telling me what to focus on last night, but I still wasn't really confident in it because I hadn't really prepped. And so I went into service trying to be obedient, trying to end on what the Lord told me. And the whole time during first service, I was just totally discouraged, felt like I was messing it up. And kind of like got done and went back to the prayer wall during the response time with this attitude of like, man, I just botched that whole thing. I knew I shouldn't have done, you know, ended on that. And I had just blew like resurrection celebration. That was kind of my mentality. And as soon as I get to the prayer wall, a woman in our church came up to me and she's like, you know, I'm ready to pray for her. And she's like, I really think the Lord wants me to pray for you. And she's like, I sense like the Lord like telling me that you're wrestling with something and you just need to trust him with it. And for me, it was like exactly what I needed to hear, that affirmation, that further confirmation that like, no, you did exactly what I wanted you to do. So just trust me with it, that I'm doing what I'm going to do with it. And then I finally got it. I finally listened to the Lord in full and trusted him. And second service was much different. It was just more like I just had fun because it's like, all right, well, this is what the Lord wants, so I'm just going to trust him with it and let him do his thing. And so all that to say is it was just one of the many examples of God trying to speak to me, which he wants to do to all of us all the time, but me kind of getting in the way of hearing what he has to say and then obeying and then trusting once I am obeying what he's doing. And so we're going to look at 1 Samuel 3 today, which is a great scriptural example that shows us how to listen, hear, and respond to the Lord's voice correctly. You know, again, the very section of scripture the Lord used as part of his confirmation that he was speaking to me. Now, just to give you some background leading up to 1 Samuel 3, where we're at, we're not in a good place of Israel's history because their spiritual leadership at the time is corrupt, or there is spiritual leadership that is corrupt, specifically Eli, who was kind of the main priest. His sons, who were serving with him at the temple, they were disrespecting the sacrifices. They were improperly taking meat from people's sacrifices for themselves. They were committing sexual sin at the temple. And whereas Eli rebuked them for their sin as their father, he should have disciplined them, he should have stopped them, and he failed to do that. And as a result, God gave him a heads up that, hey, man, there's going to be consequences for your son's unrepentant sin. Actually, they're going to end up dying, and I'm going to raise up somebody to serve me that's actually going to take it seriously and listen and obey and be that correct example for the people. Now, that's where this young man named Samuel comes in. Samuel was a young boy that was serving at the temple. You guys are familiar with his story. His mother, Hannah, was somebody that was barren for many years, and she came to the temple and would pray for a son, and ultimately she prayed to the Lord that if he would give her a son, then she would dedicate him to the Lord and to serve the Lord all of his days. And that's exactly what happened. He gives her a son, and she gives him to Eli to serve the Lord at the temple. And despite all the sin going around him, he just continues to faithfully minister to the Lord. And that's where we're going to kind of pick it up in 1 Samuel 3. So let me pray once more, and then we'll start going through this. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, again, we know that you saved us, as we were reminded Sunday, to have a relationship with you. And any relationship involves two-way conversation. And sometimes we can kind of think of it as some mystical thing, like God speaking to us. But we know, Lord, that it's not supposed to be. Any good father, which is what you are, a perfect father, converses with his children. And we're so thankful that we have you to converse with us, to encourage us, to comfort us, to lead us, to correct us into good things. Lord, these are all things you want to do. And we know you do it a number of ways. We know sometimes there are those moments where you just put something on our heart, or you speak to us audibly, just like with Samuel, Lord. And then there's those times where you're just, as we read your words, something rings through to us, like you're speaking to us through your word. Sometimes you speak to us through other believers. They say something, and you're like, that's the word of the Lord for me. So, Father, we just want to learn how to listen and hear your voice better and then obey it when we do. And so we know that this any example in Scripture is an example we want to look at and pay attention to and learn from. So help us do that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so 1 Samuel 3, we're going to look at 10 verses in this chapter. It says in verse 1, now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. Now, not being able to hear from or be led by the Lord, as it says there in verse 1, is something that can happen in our lives when there's sin present. Basically, it creates this broken fellowship, this separation from God. Not because he doesn't want to speak to us, but because in our sin, we allow ourselves to become hardened, or we kind of close our ears. Like in our unwillingness to turn from it, we don't really want to hear what God wants to say to us, or we're not listening. And so we see that in this time when there's sin being allowed to go on in the camp, if you will, at the temple where people come to worship God, there's the word of the Lord was rare. They weren't listening to him. They weren't seeing. He wasn't the vision, or basically, you know, being able to be led by him in this time. And then it goes on in verse 2, and it says, at that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. So you have Eli, who's kind of the main priest. Samuel's also staying there in the temple. It's interesting to note that Eli here, or it says that the lamp of God had not yet gone out. That specific lamp was supposed to be burning at all times. So in a sense, you maybe Eli was not taking it seriously, his responsibilities, I mean, in not addressing sin, He's kind of, in a sense, neglecting his ministry to the Lord, it would appear here. Maybe even when it talks about his eyes growing dim, it could be talking about not only his physical condition, but his spiritual condition, and allowing sin to go on. Like he's just kind of becoming an ineffective leader for the Lord. And it goes on in verse 4, and it says, "Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, 'Here I am,' and ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' But he said, 'I did not call. Lie down again.' So he went and laid down." So God calls out to Samuel in the middle of the night here. And this too, in my own life, is when I more times than not have heard the Lord's voice clearly or even audibly, or it was just obvious, like the Lord is saying something to me. You guys might have heard my testimony about how I came to name my latest son Ezekiel, who's like just over a year and a half now, 18 months. You know, I woke up in the middle of the night. We had kind of another name we were leaning towards, but I just woke up with a strong sense. We're supposed to call him Ezekiel, which means God strengthens. And, you know, kind of in thinking about it after, I remember waking up in the morning telling my wife that I think the Lord told me this, we're supposed to call him, but we kind of just, all right, you know, maybe we'll call him that, maybe we won't. But when we, his birth, there were a lot of complications with my wife and high blood pressure, and he had to be born like a month early. And I remember, like, the Lord bringing that to my attention again. Like, as I'm sitting there and I'm kind of worried about what the what ifs or what not, he's like, "I told you to call him Ezekiel." Like, God strengthens. Like, it was that encouragement to me that he's going to be fine. Just trust me. But having said that, it was in the middle of the night. And then Easter Sunday as well was another time where it was clear to me that the Lord was kind of speaking to me. And if you think about it, the middle of the night is when you have the least amount of distractions, right? It's when everything's quiet, when there's the least amount of things that can drown out the voice of the Lord, where he can get your undivided attention. So it makes sense that he would talk to us in the middle of the night. And so knowing that, I think it's wise, like when you wake up in the middle of the night, how many of you guys have trouble? You wake up in the middle of the night sometimes. Sometimes we think it's just because we got to pee, or, you know, our back hurts or we're hungry, but you know, when you're laying there and you're having trouble going back to sleep, maybe it's because not any of those things. Maybe the Lord used that to wake you up. But what you need to do is just pray and listen for the Lord's voice, because he's trying to tell you something, or he wants you to talk to him about something. So I think that's a good thing to remember. We see examples of that. Samuel doesn't recognize it's the Lord's voice at first here. Thinks that it's Eli calling him, which Eli lets him know it wasn't. And Eli appears, you know, as I pointed out in the very beginning, to have lost his attentiveness to the Lord and eagerness to serve him or do what he says. He's not really interested here in kind of figuring out what this is at first. And so the Lord appears to have, like, moved on, basically, to Samuel, to someone that would listen and obey. Because even though he doesn't recognize the Lord's voice, one thing that I would like to point out is that he still responds to God's word, which that's an important thing, because even when we don't understand all of God's words, let's say you're a young believer and you're kind of reading through God's word and you don't get it all. Or maybe you're a mature believer and you're reading through God's word and you don't exactly understand all of the details in your life, but you know something applies to you. Because you know the who, you don't need to know the why. I mean, that's the reality, all right? Because you know the who, because it's God that wrote it and inspired it, and is telling it to you, you don't need to have all the answers. You just listen and obey and attentive and are eager to it. And so Samuel, he's attentive, he's eager, even though he doesn't know it's God speaking to him yet. And it goes on in verse 6, and it says, "The Lord called again Samuel, and Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' But he said, 'I did not call, my son. Lie down again.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." So the Lord calls out Samuel again. He again assumes it's Eli, and Eli again says, "It's not me." Verse 7 gives us some additional details as to why this might have been, as there's a difference between knowing of God and knowing God personally, all right? See, at this point, Samuel knew of God. He was serving God because of who he was, but he did not have a personal relationship with him yet, all right? He was an obedient young man serving the Lord. Yet he didn't know him. And verse 7 tells us that it would be through the word of the Lord that Samuel would know the Lord. Actually, if you go down to verse 21 in your Bibles, it confirms this because it says, "And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord." And so too with us, the way we recognize our Lord's voice, the way we recognize Jesus' voice, which he said we would in John 10, 27, he says, "My sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me," is that his voice will always match up, it'll never contradict, it'll always be in line with God's word. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of Christ, all right? So it's through God's word. That's why it's so important to know God's word, that you will know your Savior's voice. You will know when God is talking to you. And as it says here, this is how Samuel was going to learn who the Lord was, through his word, which the Lord is just starting to talk to him through his word. Verse 8, and it says, "And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' And then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy." So the Lord speaks to Samuel a third time. And again, he assumes it's Eli, but Eli here realizes, all right, something's going on here. The Lord must be speaking to you, all right? You need to listen to him. Now, something to note here is that the Lord keeps repeating himself to Samuel until he realizes that the Lord is actually speaking to him. And that's something that I've found to be true in my life as well. When God is speaking to me and I'm simply not getting it, I'm not listening, or maybe I'm struggling and wanting to listen or obey or believe what he's saying, he doesn't give up on me. He has a way of continually coming at me and even confirming what he's saying, maybe in a variety of ways, like my Easter, like giving me what he wanted me to focus on Easter, right? First, it came as just like a voice or something he was putting in my mind as far as during the night, like, "This is what I want you to talk about." And when I wasn't confident in that, he gave me this passage in my devotionals and affirmed that, "Yes, I'm talking to you. I want you to do this." And then even after doing it and being not confident it was the right thing, he actually spoke through somebody else. And God does that. And actually, I'm going to have my oldest son come and give a testimony of something the Lord's done in his life over the last 2 weeks, where it was doing the same thing and confirming something he was telling him. So you guys can welcome Samuel Suits up here.
Hi, everyone. My name's Samuel. Chris is my dad. And I'd like to share with you a little something that the Lord shared with me. And so it started Monday morning when I was playing my video games. And I saw this guy I was playing with, and he had like 240 days of time built up on one video game. And I had like 24 days. I'm like, is this really what I want to be doing with my life? Like spending all my time playing video games? And so I was thinking, like, maybe I should get rid of my Xbox. And so I went on a walk with my mom that morning, and we talked about it. And she's like, yeah, you should pray about it. You don't want to make an impulsive decision. Those are the worst. So I was thinking about it a little bit throughout the day. And then I had youth group that night, and Marcus was sharing Matthew 9. And right here I have Matthew 9:9. And it says, as Jesus was going down the road, he saw Matthew sitting at his tax collection booth. "Come be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. And so I was thinking, like, wow, Matthew didn't really leave, or he left everything. He didn't, like, ask any questions. He just got rid of everything to follow Jesus. And so I felt like that was the Lord confirming to me, like, yeah, you should get rid of this because I spend too much time playing my video games. And video games aren't, like, super bad. But if you're replacing that with your time that you spend with God, then you're making it an idol. So that's just was what I thought. And I decided I'm like going to get rid of my Xbox now and then post it on eBay and sell it. And, you know, it was a hard decision because, you know, it's something I like. But I just felt like the Lord was confirming for me that it was my thing to get rid of because I spent so much time on it.
Well, that's a message in itself, man. That is convicting. Good stuff. All right. So, but it was just a great example. When he was telling me this, and, you know, my wife was explaining this conversation that she had with him, I was just like, man, what another great example of how the Lord gives us direction. And he's good to, like, not just kind of leave us wondering or like, is that really the Lord or not? Like, he'll confirm it over and over again, different ways, just for our benefit to make sure we're clearly hearing from him. And that's what he did with Samuel as well. So moving on to verse 9, it says, then for Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Eli, despite him allowing sin to go on with the leadership of the temple, if you will, with the other priests and his sons, he gives Samuel some very wise counsel here on how to listen for and respond to the Lord's voice. And really great advice for us to follow as well. So there's four things that, if you're a note taker, I'm going to pick out four points I want you to write down that Samuel says within this verse that help us understand how to hear God's voice, how to listen for it, how to obey it. First one being, make yourself available to God. Note what he tells Samuel there, go lie down. Or he tells him basically, go lie down. Don't just go lie down and go to sleep, but go lie down so you can intentionally take the time to listen for God's voice if he has something to say to you. And that's the single most important thing you can do, probably the single most difficult thing, because every single one of us struggles with feeling like we have the time to do that. And this can be done in multiple ways, because God speaks to us in a multiple ways. It can be just simply taking the time to go and sit and pray and listen. It can be taking the time to read your Bible, because he speaks through that too. It could be taking the time to hang out with other believers because he speaks through them. But the thing is, you're not going to take the time to listen to God's voice by accident ever. All right. It's not going to accidentally happen. And the problem is, if you don't intentionally set aside the time to just listen for God or give him a chance to speak to you, then the busyness of your life is often just going to drown out his voice, so you never are able to hear it. Hence the reason he has to speak to us sometimes in the middle of the night when you're just kind of forced to hear because you're doing nothing else and there's no other things around you to distract you from his voice, all right? And this is honestly one of the reasons, I mean, it's good in itself, but that we've set aside times to pray weekly on Wednesday mornings and once a month on Thursday nights when we do our nights of prayer and fasting, because A, those times don't happen by themselves unless you designate a time. All right, we're just going to come together, we're going to be in the Lord's presence, and we're just going to pray. Nothing else. We're going to listen for his voice. That doesn't happen by itself, like I said, unless you intentionally do it. But also, when we do those things and we see that God actually does speak to us, he does actually answer our questions, he does comfort us, he does correct us, like, then it encourages us to do it more often in our own lives personally, because we want to be doing it together and we want to be doing it. So again, you got to intentionally do it or it won't happen. So that's the first thing. Make yourself available to God. Second thing, don't automatically assume he has something to say. I like this because, like, he says, go lie down. And if he calls you, all right, he tells him basically, make yourself available to listen. And then if God has something to say, he will speak to you, or you'll be able to hear what he's saying. And the reality is, God might not have something to say. He doesn't always speak to me. He doesn't always speak to us, even when we're specifically asking about things. Timing is perfect with him too. And he doesn't want me to put the cart in front of the horse. You know, he'll tell me something when he has something to say. And so we don't want to, in a sense, like, put this requirement on him to speak, because what that can lead to is fooling ourselves into hearing a voice that really isn't his. All right, because just because you're hearing something that is exactly what you want to hear doesn't mean it's the Lord's voice. All right, again, anything you're hearing should never contradict scripture, but we have this tendency to listen to our flesh or listen to the enemy if it tickles our ears or if it's what we want to hear. So again, we want to come to God with this heart of, like, if you want to speak to me, Lord, I'm here to listen. I want to hear what you have to say. All right, so that's the second thing. Don't automatically assume he has something to say. Third thing, he says, go lie down. If he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord. Or basically, the third thing I want you to note is respond to the word of God. Eli tells Samuel, respond if you hear him speak to you. Now, as we talked about on Sunday, God saved you or reconciled you to him through Jesus' death on the cross, where your sins were paid for, so you could have a relationship with him for all eternity. And any good relationship involves personal conversations, like two-way conversations, all right? And this can look a lot of different ways. Maybe, you know, in that when God talks to you, you talk back to him, okay? So some of us, we like to write notes. Like we have journals where we write notes in. Some of us have prayer journals where you write prayer requests. You when God answers, you write like how he answered. You know, that's a good way to respond to God speaking to you. Basically, when you're reading through his word or you're praying and you feel like he's spoken something to you through it, you write it down, right? That's a response to God's word, because in a sense, you're not just glancing over it. You're meditating on it. You're thinking about it. You're contemplating it, all right? You're acknowledging God said something to you, okay? So that's one way. Maybe it's asking for questions or clarification. You know, there was a whole lot of discussion, if you will, all night long on Sunday night or Sunday early morning between me and the Lord, because I was wrestling, if you will. That's the best way I could put it, like kind of Jacob wrestling with the Lord, like wrestling with him all night. Like, Lord, are you sure? I'm not ready for this. You know, how does this, you know, really relate to the gospel? You know, there was a whole lot of that. And God's big enough to answer your questions and handle the questions you might have, all right? So that's okay to kind of wrestle with things and ask for God to clarify. Or the third thing, ask for confirmation. In Judges 6, we see when God comes and appears and speaks to Gideon, he asks for quite a few confirmations. Like, well, can you do this, Lord, just so that I know I'm hearing you right? And it's really you that's speaking to me. God doesn't mind doing those type of things. So, like, those are all ways we can respond to the word of God. So that's the third thing, all right? First thing, make yourself available to God. Second, don't automatically assume he has something to say. Third, respond to the word of God. Fourth, humble yourself before God and his word. Note that Eli says to Samuel, go lie down. If he calls you, speak, Lord, or you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant here. All right. He tells him to approach God as a servant. And we need to remember who God is. All right. He's God. He's Yahweh. He's the I am. He always has been. He is not created, because he is the creator of all things. He knows all things, and he's all powerful and ruling and reigning. So that means anything he says, we should listen to, because it's always good and it's always right. All right. And that helps us listen to his voice with humility. Okay. Something I failed to do, honestly, on Easter night in kind of wrestling with him and questioning him. Are you sure, Lord, this is what you want me to do? Which we can all still struggle with, all right? Honestly, a lack of humility is probably the biggest hindrance in hearing God, as I mentioned earlier, with Eli and his sons, because they weren't responsive to the sin in their lives because of a lack of humility, all right? And I would say that, you know, if you're reading God's word regularly, or if you're in church, or you're at a Bible study, or you're meeting with other believers, and you have this kind of frame of mind of like, well, I'm not getting anything out of this. I can't be fed by this person, or this person's counsel, like, doesn't make sense to me. A good thing to always check is where your humility is, all right? Because we can kind of get in this frame of mind of having somewhat of a spiritual arrogance where we're like, well, I already know the answer to this, so it doesn't really matter what this person says, or I already know everything in the Bible. I don't need to be told anything else, which is like, oh, well, that's interesting, because God's supposed to be constantly revealing himself to us and constantly working on us until we're with him and we're like him. So you should never arrive. You're never going to know everything about the Bible, because here's the thing, even if you read through it from front to back several times, it's always going to be applicable to you at any point in your life, like maybe in a different way. It's the same Bible, it's the same meaning, but there's different application to what you're going through in your life. So that's why people refer to the Bible as living, because God constantly uses it to speak to you. And so we want to always approach it with a heart of humility. Like, all right, what does the Lord want to say to me? All right. Or in prayer, Lord, what do you want to say? I'm just listening. I'm your servant. Whatever you want to say. Or when you're meeting for counseling with another believer, not going into it having your mind made up on what you want to hear, but actually seeking counsel, like, all right, this person knows the Lord, loves the Lord, seems wise in the word of the Lord. I need to listen to what they have to say so I can receive it, okay? That's the right way to approach God, and it'll help you hear his voice, all right? So, it says Samuel went, lay down in his place. So he listens to Eli. Doesn't say he goes to go back to sleep. He goes and he's like attentive and he's like, all right, I'm listening. And that's a good word for us because that's how we should be when we pray, when we read God's word, when we go to church, when we go meet with other believers. We should be attentive. We should be ready. Like, what's the Lord going to speak to me today? All right. That doesn't happen by itself. If you're not intentional to do that, you might close your ears before even God has something to say. Or if you're sitting there and you're thinking about something else, you're distracted, you're thinking about, oh, I can't wait till church goes out so I can get lunch or I can watch a game. You're in a sense already deafening yourself from hearing what God wants to say to you because you're not approaching him that right way with that attentiveness, with that readiness to hear and receive like Samuel is right here. So we always want to do that. We want to go to him and kind of have this mindset of like, all right, Lord, if you want to speak to me, man, I want to hear what you have to say, all right? In verse 10, it says, and the Lord came and stood calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. Now, note that this time, as Samuel intentionally waits and listens for the Lord, approaches him with humility as a servant, the Lord not only speaks to him, but he also reveals himself to him. So he clearly knows he's speaking to him because it says, and the Lord came and stood. Like there was no question. It was the Lord this time when he approached him the right way. And when the Lord speaks, Samuel responds just as Eli told him to. As God's word always demands a response. You're either going to listen or not listen. There is no middle ground, all right? If he tells you something, you're either going to listen or not listen. And he listens. And because he responds with humility as one wanting to serve and do whatever the Lord wants him to. Your servant, right? That's key, all right? He obeys the Lord because of that. And that's exactly the type of people that God loves to speak to. It tells us in 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. And that idea is just totally surrendered. What we're going to talk about that more on Sunday is that being the only right response to understanding who God is and how he feels about you. But again, if you're having trouble hearing from the Lord, we want to make sure we're approaching him in a humble way, seeking his will for our life, not our own will, knowing who he is and knowing that his will, as it says there in Romans 12, is always good, pleasing, and perfect. All right. Again, I had to learn that lesson on Easter. It's constantly a lesson that we can learn in our lives, but we should be learning when we question God and we see him prove to us that I have better things in mind than you do. Just trust me. And when you see that actually play out, you acknowledge it and go like, you're right, Lord. You were right all along. And on Sunday, he proved that to me because even though, you know, I was questioning what he wanted me to talk about after service, I had many comments about how the Lord spoke to people personally through that very specific message about where our true citizenship is. So again, God had a specific thing he wanted to do. And he just wanted to trust me with it. He knew better than me, like he always does. All right. So Samuel, he goes on to do, we're not going to go through the rest of the chapter, but exactly what God tells him to do. He obeys him despite basically what God tells him to do is give a tough word to Eli, somebody he cares about, somebody that kind of looked after him as kind of a spiritual father, but basically needed to be corrected in his sin. And that's always the most loving thing we can do for anyone, because to allow them to go down the path of destruction, which is where sin leads, and not correct it, is not the loving thing to do. So he's honest with him. He does what the Lord tells him to do, and he corrects them, all right? You'll have to read that on your own. But having said that, just in conclusion, all right? Again, God speaking to us, sometimes we can look at this as like some type of mystical thing when it's really not supposed to be, all right? We call God our Father all the time. Any good father is going to spend time and talk to his children, and that is what God wants to do in a variety of ways. He's given us a variety of ways to stay close to him and have relationship with him, you know, whether it's through his word, other believers, prayer, church, all things. God can speak to us through those things. But he most definitely wants to speak to you, and he probably already is. But again, are we taking the time to listen intentionally? Again, it's not going to happen by itself. You've got to make that effort to draw near to God, and the Bible says he will draw near to you. So you intentionally take the time. You read God's word every day. You take the time to pray. Like, set aside time to pray. You come to church. You hang out with other believers. And that allows the opportunity for God to speak to you. And then you have humility in receiving what is being said. Remember, we approach God with the right way. You know, like, what is it you want to say to me, Lord? Here's your servant. I'm not looking for what I want to hear, just whatever you want to say. So I can receive and obey it and experience the blessing that comes with obedience. And then last but not least, when we hear him, do we obey and do what he tells us to do? All right. Now, he's good in that he'll continue to confirm it until we get it. But that's something that should come as a result of our humility and approaching him the right way, just doing what he tells us to do. Like my son, like basically that conviction over something that maybe not everyone has the same conviction, but God is specifically speaking to him saying, I have something better for you. And he wants to listen to him. He trusts him in that. And that's the kind of heart that God's looking for and can do really great things if we allow him to, if we trust him and obey. So in your groups tonight, talk about these things, because I'm sure we all have examples of how God has spoken to us in these different ways that I kind of pointed out today, and kind of our own struggles with wrestling with the things that we hear, like me on Sunday night, that don't exactly make sense to us, but then God eventually kind of confirming it and getting us to trust him, then him proving how he was right all along, and we should just listen right when he tells us stuff. So be blessed in your groups tonight, guys. God wants to speak to you. If there's one thing I want you to get tonight, he wants to speak to you. Let's just take the time to listen and come and approach him with that right heart, that right frame of mind. And I'm confident we'll hear his voice. God bless you guys. Have a great evening in your group.